We'll make our own laugh track. Fantastic.
Hello, I'm the John that's trapped in Scotland.
And I'm the John who's not trapped in Scotland.
And I'm trapped in my own woe and despair. And this is Would John Rather. I'm going to carry on from last week and ask them stupid Would You Rather questions. We'll get right into it. This is a question to celebrate my 2 month sobriety that I hit yesterday. So, John, would you rather, from now until the day you die, be constantly hungover or constantly drunk?
That's quite a tough one, because I don't like being hungover. I absolutely hate it. It's the worst thing in the world. I don't drink enough normally to warrant getting a good chunky hangover. But the hangovers I've had have been... You know when you get flu, you know you've got it, because you've had a heavy cold before. You're like, I've got the flu. But really, you haven't. Until you've had the flu, you realise how crippling and horrible it is. Like, I vividly remember my last hangover, and I don't really want to visit that again. But at the same time, if I'm drunk all the time, can't drive, can't do anything useful.
See, I think that John is going to have an opposite feeling to this, because I've spoken to his wife, and she's told me that every morning he wakes up with a big chunky hangover. That it hangs over the edge of the bed, it's that chunky. So...
let's swiftly move on. I think ultimately I'm going to come down on the side of I really want to be hungover for the rest of my life. And the reason for this is, so partly as my friend John has already alluded to, you can't get anything useful done when you're drunk. I mean, I like to think that I'm quite entertaining when I'm drunk, but probably... I'm going to be more annoyed with myself for the lack of productivity from being drunk all the time than I would be from the loss of my constant comedy while I'm drunk. And to give you an example of why I think I would be so effective as constantly hungover, the last time I was so badly hungover was at our work Christmas party. And, you know, I was sick on the way home, and so the next morning I came in and everybody knew that I was going to have this horrible hangover. But I actually ended up getting my team leader, my manager, actually complimented me on some of the work that I did that day. And it was something quite exceptional that I achieved. So I think I must actually be some sort of superhero when I'm hungover and I get new powers. That means I can't do stuff that I normally do while I'm sober. So there you go. There's my answer.
I reckon they just wrote you off as a human being. I reckon they gave you like a gold star for logging into a computer that day.
Yeah, I think that stems not so much from the fact that you enjoy being hungover, but you enjoy being underestimated and proving everyone wrong.
That is very much a John trait.
That is when he shines, when he's underestimated or being the underdog, because there is nothing that John enjoys more than winning.
John, you can't eat that file. I can and I will.
Well, exactly.
Just sitting John, in the corner of the curry house crying, like dripping from your eyes and your nose and just everywhere. But you did it.
Yeah.
You proved everyone wrong by putting yourself in a painful situation.
So I think what we've actually concluded here is that if I was constantly hungover, people would underestimate me and I would perform well for the rest of my life. So I think I've basically won this, haven't I?
I'm going to go with constantly drunk, because that's the format of the show, isn't it?
That's exactly the format of the show. You've given away our secrets.
Do go on, John. Tell us a bit more.
I like scotch. That's, you know, it's not a secret. I also like rum. That's not a secret. So if you give me the choice to be hungover or constantly drunk, if someone can provide me with enough liquor to, like, hair of the dog the rest of my life, I'll take you up on that. I'll drink some fine ass scotch and some fine ass whiskey and just enjoy it. I'd rather die at like 40 odd from liver failure with a smile on my face than living until I'm 70 wishing I was actually dead.
I mean, yeah, there's no clause saying that you have to be ridiculously drunk. There's different stages, obviously, which is why I was carefully figuring out how to phrase this alcohol themed question. But you could just be constantly drunk, but you could be that in control drunk.
Not the drunk that thinks that you've won the lottery and keeps buying people drinks randomly.
Yes, exactly.
I hate that, John. He's an arse because he hurts my wallet. I don't like him.
But just that one scotch every hour, hour and a half, just ticking you over, just keeping you that nice buzz, keeping you on that right level.
Just enough to like not let you ever drive again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'd never have to drive again, which is
awesome.
It depends if you enjoy driving, but you'd always have an excuse to not be the designated driver. And if you could perfect that level of drunk where you were that optimum level of yourself. Everyone's got that optimum level of themselves when they've had a drink, where you're the most charismatic, charming, you know, just the best version of you. I call that my seven beer Matt, where I'm the best. That's the Matt that takes a girl home at the end of the night and makes loads of friends. The problem is when you get to then what I call eight beer Matt, that's where you go home with a lot less friends.
Fewer friends, not less.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot. This is a Would You Rather / Grammar podcast with John. Continuing the theme from last week.
I mean, I think the other thing is that John has sort of stumbled on is that he likes his scotch, he likes his rum. But there's nothing to stop you having a drink while you're hungover. And apparently it wouldn't get in this situation, this scenario that we've invented, that you're not actually going to get drunk, you're just going to stay hungover. So you could still enjoy the taste of your whiskey and your rum. And I think you both know I have a big collection of whiskey, so you know I'm quite keen to be able to continue drinking that. But
how would you enjoy your whiskey when you've got carpet tongue and the back of your teeth tastes like sick?
Well, some people manage it. One of our good friends, he seems to always be able to wake up whatever time in the morning and pick up the half empty cans of beer and drink them, and that seems
to
work.
That's really stellar.
Maybe I can learn from that. I think there's a lot to be said from the guy who can pick up half empty cans of beer and enjoy them somehow. I think I want to learn from that. That's looking on the bright side of life, I reckon.
That's an optimistic John that's an optimistic side of you I've never heard of before.
I mean, just to clarify, I can't remember exactly what it was you just said there, John, but this isn't a situation that I've imagined. This is a Freaky Friday bedtime stories style scenario where at the end of the year, if we reach 52 episodes, everything that you've selected will become a reality for you both. It was my final wish with my genie. The first one was for a better internet connection so we could be making the show. The second one is strictly between me and my doctor. And the third was that these would become a reality.
Well, good. Well, that's why I am sticking with my first answer, that I want to be the best version of me while I'm hungover, because I like proving people wrong.
I'd rather be seven mood John. I'd rather be charming and charismatic all the time, because God knows I'm not.
This is definitely an interesting conversation to be having with a borderline recovering alcoholic. It's definitely made me really reevaluate things, because I can see the merits of both sides. We've got the one side where you would be constantly having to overcompensate, which I've learned to do after the last decade, and overcompensate and work that extra bit harder, where not only are you compensating for the hangover, but you'd be working harder. So I feel you would be more productive. And I think potentially it depends on the level of hangover. But the same as we said, you could manage the drunk, maybe you could manage the hangover. But then on the other side, being drunk constantly, if we said you could stay on that seven beer level of being the perfect version of yourself, you're not getting to that point where you're ridiculous and you do the things you regret, which we'll not mention for any of us involved, any examples. We'll be gentlemen about this conversation. But even if
I think that's a quick way to lose friends, recording yes. and distributing some of those stories.
Definitely. But even if, say, John, you did become 10, 12 beer John and did something ridiculous. Do you know the point in your life where that becomes the bad? Nobody regrets doing anything when they're drunk until they're hungover or sober. And you're never going to sober up. You're always going to be drunk, so you're never going to regret everything. You might destroy your life, but at no point will you be bothered by it.
You make loads of friends when you're drunk, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
So you could burn your bridges all day long, and then you go out to a bar the next night, and you make new best friends.
I don't want to live in a world with that little consistency.
When you're drunk, it doesn't matter.
No, it matters to me. It matters more to me when I'm drunk.
It does seem to boil down to, it boils down to that conversation of what you want out of life. I guess you've got your trajectory of working hard, having your consistency, having your routine, you know, that kind of lifestyle, or the lifestyle of I'm only here for X amount of years and I'm going to enjoy myself while I'm here. I think that comes down person to person. Any closing statements? Because I'm really struggling here, because I don't like being hungover. I also don't like being too drunk. I like the idea of consistency, but I do like the idea of...
One of my favourite things about being hungover is that it's okay to have a...
It's okay to always have a sick hole within a metre radius of you at all times. It's not socially acceptable.
I was going to say have a fry up every single day, because you, that's your Saturday morning or your Sunday morning meal. That is
what. Are you going there? Are you seriously going there, John?
Well, I mean, I think let's be honest. Drunk food is kebabs. Hungover food is
yes, kebabs.
A full English breakfast.
The 3 a.m. kebab from the van outside the club that's got no food hygiene certificate is always the best. You can't beat street meat. I can't believe you've just won the argument for me, John. Thank you.
I do that's not the like the term. Logic,
but in the
cheesy chips, John. Cheesy chips.
But as you just said, the no hygiene certificate, I can go to a classy, greasy spoon that does have a hygiene certificate, not give myself food poisoning, and have the best meal of the day.
You only get food poisoning when you're hungover. You only throw up when you're hungover.
I'm calling it. I've made my decision. This is based purely on one thing. It is based on the fact that John just used the term street meat, and that reminds me that if you get too drunk, you may end up going home with a man accidentally, and I do not want to be taking street meat home with me. So, hungover.
No.
Nope. You said the word street meat, and it just struck the wrong chord with me. It made me think all the wrong things. I like a kebab. Don't like the fact you called it street meat. I'm going with John.
Please.
As a side note, this is something that I've approached recently in my life. When you have a hangover, people tend to tell you, no sympathy, self-inflicted. That's what I do when people come into work tired because their kids kept them up all night. Self-inflicted. Give me a better excuse. So.
I'm not playing the I'm a better parent than you card, but, you know, I'm not saying beat it out of them, but, you know, encourage them to not get up at 2 a.m.
Exactly. I don't have children. I wouldn't be able to say. All I know is that nobody forced you to have kids, just like nobody forced me to drink. Don't look down at me because I'm hungover, and I won't look down on you because you had to get up in the middle of the night to feed. I don't really care. But no, sorry. I'm going with, it was difficult to call, but street meat, the phrase street meat just touched something within my soul that made me feel severely uncomfortable. That probably says more about me than it does you, but That's it. That's where I'm going with it. Next question. This will be an interesting one for you both. We're moving away from the land of debauchery. Would you rather, for the rest of your life, not have to pay for any travel or not have to pay for any food? And dear God, John, if you say that you're going to eat street meat every day, I will come to your house and brain you.
That's fine, because I'm in Scotland. Deal with it. I'd eat my own body weight in bacon if that were the case, if I could never pay for food again, because I don't spend that much on travel because I've got quite an economical car, and to get up here, my company paid for it. So the effects of paying for travel isn't that massive. I mean, if I'm going to go on holiday abroad, then your flights are chucked into the price of the holiday, so you don't really wince about it in the same way. Whereas I can imagine John living in London, having to deal with Ubers and tubes and taxis and buses, might have to get more consideration to keeping his Oyster card topped up. If he had the infinite black Oyster card, I don't know if TFL is like Nando's.
You're making my argument for me, John, which is that obviously I would go for free travel all the time, because being a Londoner for the better part of the last decade, travel.
Core blimey, Governor.
Core blimey, the cost of transport is phenomenal. It's extortionate.
Get a bike. Stop crying.
Well, I mean, yes, that is a solution, but then you have to deal with our polluted air, which is highly toxic and would kill anybody who spends more than 30 minutes outside doing exercise. So, you know, having the option of having my transport paid for life is highly attractive to me right now. It would also free up more money for me to spend on food, and I could visit our many delicious restaurants that we have in London, the high quality vendors. So I think it would actually be, you know, freeing up a lot more of my capital to spend on food and other activities that I wish to do.
Sorry, when you said to visit our higher level vendors, all I could think about was, John prefers a better quality street meat.
That's where I'm going with this, and you know, it is imperative that I continue to have transport, because as I said, the air is toxic. I can't cycle, and I wouldn't want to cycle anyway because
right,
my legs aren't strong enough.
This is London, not inside Chernobyl, right?
So as I was saying, with the money I would save, I would be visiting our high quality vendors in London for
high quality vendors of street meat,
for non street meat. But I would get it with the money that I saved, frankly. And an interesting fact about transport, you know how trains and buses tend to have highly sort of weird patterns on seats? That's to keep your eye away, to keep your eye distracted from all the dirt on them.
It doesn't work then in that case. That was a poor design, because the one thing I notice, okay, there's two things I notice when I'm on a bus. Number one is the dirt on the bus, and probably linked in, so number 1.1 is the dirty, dirty people on the bus.
But the point is, you might think they're even dirtier if they didn't have these weird patterns on the seats to distract you. If they were just a plain colour, you would notice the stain immediately, whereas you don't notice the stain immediately. You notice the
homeless man that stinks of piss.
Anyway, this is besides the point. If I'm going to travel on these dirty public transport, then I'm gonna get it for free now, which is much better. But also, if I'm getting all my transport for free, I'm taking a higher quality of transport from now on. I'm not going on the bus ever again. I am taking limos. I am taking Ubers. I am taking my stick.
Not the Uber X, but you're getting that high quality Uber where they open the door for you and give you a bottle of water.
I'm getting a private charter jet from one side of London to the other one.
Yes.
Just because you could.
A golf buggy and rockets. I'm employing Elon Musk.
I'm surprised that I thought this was going to go in a different direction, because I'm frankly, John, disappointed with your ambition. When I said you could travel for free, you've not left London in this entire conversation. You could be going to Dubai. You could be going to South America and traveling the rainforest. You could be going anywhere. It's like, nah, East Side.
Well, you know me. I'm not a fan of other places.
I bet he hasn't even gone to the other side of the river and had jelly eels.
No, we get jelly eels on our side of the river. It's the north side that's missing the jelly eels.
You've touched on his turf war background, John. I'd back off and move swiftly on. Tell me more about why you'd rather eat for free.
Finally, get a word in edgeways. Yeah, I'd love to eat for free. Like, just think of the restaurants you go to. You could try Heston's snail porridge. The waiting list to get into Heston's restaurant is ridiculous. It's like months and months and months. And if you want to go on a special occasion, you're probably looking at a couple of years. So if I'm eating for free, I could just like blanket book all the best restaurants and taste all the best food. And you never know, I could actually write a food blog and be interesting, be a man of the world.
Not a man of the world. a man of world cuisine.
That's true. Are we allowed to team up? Like, John can pick me up in his cab and then we could go and eat somewhere and I'll put it on my
Stick it on
cab.
Your tab. Yeah, put it on his tab.
No. John decks the helicopter, you have to walk, and then he is not allowed any of your broth.
So when we go to an all-you-can-eat Indian and we both pay, like, £10 and then we both catch a cab and then it's £10 and we're both no better and no worse off, we're now just boiling this down the ambition of my stomach and the ambition of John making it to Hackney in a Hummer.
In record time.
A pink stretched Hummer. That's what I can see.
I mean, I don't want to go to Dubai anyway. It's too hot.
I want to go to Dubai, and then I want to have the world's most expensive cocktail. Because does that come under my bracket of food, or is that...
Yeah, no, I'll put drinking with food. This will help with the fact that you're going to have to be constantly drunk, so...
So I could go to Dubai, and I could go and... Where is it? What's the big tower that they've got called? Insert crazy Dubai tower name here in the edit match. Cheers.
Yeah, just send me a voice clip of you saying what it is, and I'll edit it over, because I have not a clue.
it's like the Farad Tower or something. I can't quite remember.
Oh, I hope you're wrong, and then that is just you being super racist.
It is a pretty cliche name. I'm not gonna lie. But it's like 2,000 something of feet high. So they made a special cocktail for that restaurant, like up like 100 floors. And the cocktail is like $2,000.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So I'd have one of those. And then I complain that it's not sparkling. Because it could.
Yeah, I'm going to call it now.
Does he still have to tip people?
You don't have to tip people anyway.
In fact, I'm buying a $2,000 cocktail should be enough.
Well, what I'm saying is that if he's been served this $2,000 cocktail, you know, is he going to be expected to leave a $200 tip, or next time he goes they're going to spit in it?
Next time I go.
Well, I'm guessing you're going to get accustomed to your life in these expensive restaurants and try to visit them more than once, and they're going to spit in your drink if you haven't left a really fat tip.
You tip for travel as well.
Less often.
I guess that depends on the person, really. No, I'm going to call it.
When was the last?
I'm calling it. I'm ending it. You've had enough time to persuade me. Just purely based on ambition. That's what I'm calling this on. John, it took me to prompt you when I offered you free travel for life to leave the north side of London and
south side.
Was that? I'm sorry. I'm not involved in your turf war.
He's got an ongoing score with Blazing Squad. They quit music just so they could have a turf war with John.
And I think he hasn't quite expressed himself since the beginning of the argument, but I think John's ambition to literally eat everything, I think he would get his money's worth more than you would. I think that a couple of districts would have to start becoming farms just to keep up with the demand, and I just think he'd make the most of that opportunity better than you would.
Here's a question. Sorry to jump on it right as you're about to say that I've won the first time in a good long while. What happens if I wanted like a shepherd's pie, like the really shitty ones you get on an in-flight meal on like a Virgin Atlantic flight from here to America? Because to get that shepherd's pie, I have to have a plane trip, don't I?
Yeah, you have to buy the plane ticket.
I don't care about the plane ticket. I want that shepherd's pie. I want.
I mean, he said that the food would be free, not that it would be readily available at the click of your fingers.
Yeah, I'm not magic. I've just paid all of your food bills for the future.
So, like, I present you with a Tesco receipt, and you reimburse me some croissants.
No, you'd have a special black card again. And in answer to your question, quite simply, is I would personally, in your shoes, I'd ask John to jump on a flight and steal me a shepherd's pie. You're not thinking out the box.
Thing is, we've not had like a couple of days to think about these answers to these questions.
To be honest, I think you think I plan this more than I do. I was writing these questions down at 8:02. Until we have any sort of fan base that sends us questions, I am writing them down 2 minutes before and going, oh, that might be interesting. And when these go live, we'll find out that no, they're not.
None of them are.
They are. Nobody cares about anything we have to say. Well, but I'm going with John and the food.
Yes.
Just based on ambition.
You can't see this, but I'm pumping my fist in the air. Yes.
Well done, John.
Well done, John. Okay, this one we're going to whiz through. I want quick, clean, concise answers because I think it's quite simple, and we could also get lost in the ether for about 6 hours. So you can travel in time, but only forwards or backwards. Would you rather travel forward in time at will or backwards in time at will?
Backwards. Definitely going to go backwards because John has a degree in history, and it will upset him that I got to go and shoot JFK.
I would definitely go forwards, because backwards is only, I mean, the human race is only going to progress and get better. In the past, we had the Black Death and slavery, and in the future, we're going to have great things.
Now, you say this, that it only gets better with time and things are only going to move forward. And I've spoken to
America. Do you want to see how that ends up?
I've spoken to many people in their, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, and I keep being told about these good old days and how everything was better in the past. And that appears to be fact. So I don't know whether you're correct there.
Keep going with my argument for me. Are we saying that we could go back in time, but then can we return to the present? Or if I go back to, like, last week, I can't come back to today, but I can go back to 2 weeks ago.
I didn't think that far ahead. Are we
allowed to return to where we are in time?
Yeah, because if you could only go back in time, if you went back 10 minutes, you'd be stuck 10 minutes ago. And then if you travelled back to, like, 1847, you could never travel forward in time again. So, yes, you could return to the point in time you travelled from. That's the only time you could travel in the opposite direction, I think.
Okay, well, I mean, I think that being able to go forward is probably going to have the greatest benefits, because I could go forward, see who wins, come back to my point in time and put a bet on.
See who wins? You didn't even give an example, just in general, see who wins.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I mean, are you talking about placing a bet and getting rich, or are you thinking of some sort of Planet of the Apes style you don't know who to put your allegiances to?
Yes. Either way, really, frankly, I can go forward, I can see what happens, and I can go back to my point in time and place a bet, or, you know, swear my allegiance to our monkey overlords and not have
apes.
To worry.
Apes, they're not apes.
Apes, okay, well. But if you go back and do this sort of, I'm going to see what happens in the present, go back in time and place a bet, you might accidentally change the present.
Back to the Future too.
Yeah, it always I've seen enough films, going back in time messes up the future. You might accidentally unborn yourself. You can't do that going forward. Like, at worst, I accidentally change the future, but it hasn't happened yet, so it doesn't matter.
You know when people say you can't change the past, you've just got to let it go. No, I'm going to go back, I'm going to change it, and I'm just going to be all right. Those awkward silences from the first show we did, they won't exist. I'll go back and I'll do it.
But it's the butterfly effect. You make one wrong move and you've screwed humanity somehow.
Yeah, but
right,
you're only...
So you travelling forwards in time, finding out some vital information, then travelling back to today, and then changing the course of history's fine. So the future that you saw no longer exists because you've
changed. Well, maybe not.
Today.
Maybe not. But...
Well, maybe not. I won't unborn myself then, John.
I'm a little bit reckless.
Once you've unborn yourself, you can't reborn yourself. Whereas I can adapt going forward.
Science with John and John.
Which Hollywood timeline are we using for this? Are we using the multiverse, like future timeline?
No, let's steer away from that for now.
My hand starts to fade, like if I unborn myself.
No, if you unborn yourself, that's it, game over. So I think the thing you've got to think about is twofold. Obviously, travelling in the past, you're focusing on travelling way, way, way back. Like, if I go for a job interview and I royally screw the pooch, that night, I'm just going to start my day again. And you don't necessarily have to be going back far in time. You could just, I really shouldn't have had that to eat. I've got food poisoning. Whoop, back in time, day before, not going to have that dodgy scampi. Whereas, John, you're looking at travelling to the future, and the future is just the past that hasn't happened yet.
Ooh. Whoa. Well, I mean, I guess in that respect, in that respect, it's the same as you have the same benefit, because you could go, ooh, should I eat this piece of street meat? Fast forward to the future, see how you feel about it in the future. Oh, actually, that upset my stomach. I'm not going to eat that street meat. Go back to present. Made my decision. Not eating the street
meat. It seems like a lot of hassle. Like, every decision you make, you've got to travel forward in time. But the thing is,
have
you got to make the decision first? You're like, I'm going to eat the street meat, and then travel forward in time and watch yourself throw up. I'll go back in time. I'll decide not to eat the street meat. Have you got to eat the street meat first? and then find out what happens. Because if you're like oohing and ahhing about it, it may have never happened. So you might have travelled forward for nothing. And then you go back in time, and then you eat the street meat thinking it's fine.
You've got me in a philosophical dilemma now.
As we're being quick, I'll champion one more argument for going back in. I'd go back in time, and I would start Pinata Co. I would be the CEO of Pinata Co.
Ah, a callback. I like. Well, I think we all would if we could, but it's not too late to invest. There's plenty of stock and share options available for everybody. But no, nothing to do with the Pinata Co, but I think travelling back in time would be more useful in the short term. Travelling forward in time, maybe to better humanity, to advance technology, maybe to make yourself rich. But if you could travel back in time to make yourself rich, that's just as good as travelling forward in time. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with back in time, I think. I think I'd rather correct past mistakes. And once again, that probably says more about the life I've chosen to lead up until now than anything else. But we won't tag on that thread too much, because that's a long, long thread. Okay, well, we tried it last week and it seemed to go quite well. So I believe you've got a question for me before we sign off.
John, fire away.
I'd like to know, would you rather be abducted by aliens or by mermaids?
Ah, see, I saw this one when I googled questions too, John.
What? I came up with this by myself.
Did you really? Oh, I didn't google it. You sent it to us in the group. Okay. I knew I'd seen it somewhere.
Why would you lie to us, Matt?
So I apologize. I knew I'd seen it somewhere. I'm going to go with mermaids. 100% what, mermaids.
With the fish front and like the human tail, or the fish tail and the human
head? Wait, the human tail. The human tail, that legs. Tail that humans have.
Yeah.
No, legs, proper mermaids, not reverse mermaids. Because either way, chances are I'm going to die. But when you look, because you can't breathe underwater or in space, no matter how many human tails you have. But I think you see people that claim to have been abducted by aliens, and they're not very switched on. But you see people that claim to have seen mermaids, and people just go, ah, they're a little bit tapped. So, yeah.
Get too long on the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, I like the mermaids that were in Hook. I like the mermaids in Aquamarine, or whatever that film was that I remember my sister watching when she was growing up. Mermaids generally seem quite nice. Aliens, not so much. So, mermaids, and also, I'm really curious as to how they make those clams stay on their boobs. Like,
I've got one for you.
Not a water-soluble adhesive in the world could work that well, so...
So when Walt Disney was designing Ariel back in the day, someone said, why is she wearing seashells? And Walt Disney replied, well, because B shells would be too small and D shells would be too big.
Very nice. I mean, she's only 16 in that film, Tri, so maybe a bit inappropriate for some of our younger listeners, but...
I didn't draw her. Blame Walt Disney.
I don't think he personally drew Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
Well, it definitely wasn't me.
Well, there we go. There's some homework for next week. Next week, I want to know who drew Ariel.
Is this going to be like in Arrested Development where they say, this will happen in the next episode, and then it never does?
Nothing happens. Yes, exactly.
Good.
Fantastic. But no, 100% mermaids. So, yeah, I think that's about it for this week.
Well, I've been John.
I've been hungover John.
And I've not. And, yeah, see you later. Well, there we go. There's some more fucking gold for me to edit.